Is daf tezain. We got to the bottom of Tez Vav Amud Beis, the Mishnah. There are a lot of work to do today. So the Mishnah says, Chamisha Tamin Chamisha Muadim. There are five situated cases of there being a Tam, five cases of there being a Muad. Habehema Eina Muad. This animal is not regulated to Lo Ligach. It doesn't gore normally. Lo Ligov, it doesn't push with its body. Lo Lashuch, it doesn't bite. Lo Lirbot, it doesn't crouch. Lo Libo, it doesn't kick. Those are all examples of Chamisha Tamim. Hashein, Muadish Le'echel Eser Roila. When it comes to actually eating, because the first case, Lashuk was biting. When it comes to eating, so animals are Muadish to eating, things that are fit to eat. Haregel, Muadish Lishpor, Bide'ach Hilucho. The leg of the animal, it normally breaks things as it walks along the way. That's the second case of Muad. Bishur HaMuad, an animal that's been goring more than three times. That's the third example of a Muad. Bishur Mazik, Bishur HaNizak, if the shore enters in to the Nizak's backyard, even on the first offense, that's considered Muad, that's the fourth example, and Faha Adam, a person Adam Muad Liolam. That's the understanding of the Mishnah. The Gemara is going to go back and forth how to properly read this Mishnah. Then the Mishnah says, Hazaev, the wolf, Ha'ari, a lion, Hadov, a bear, Hanemar is a lion, rather a leopard, a Bardalus, I'm not sure what a Bardalus is, they say.
Oh, I think the Gemara is going to identify.
Okay, fine. We'll wait for the Gemara.
Hanachash.
Yeah, you can take it out. Yeah, sure. Hanachash, the snake. Hare elu muadin. These are all muadim. And Rabbi Elazar Omer Bizman Shehin Bnei Tarbus ain't muadim. But when they are domesticated, somehow you raise them, which is if it's really possible or not. But if you can raise a lion, dove, a bear, and whatnot, then it would not be considered muad, except for hanachash and muad liolam. Rabbi Elazar does agree when it comes to hanachash, a snake can never be trained.
Interesting.
So the Gemara now says, "Mitakani from the fact that the Mishnah tells us hashein muadis lechel, that shein is muadis to eat food, and it mechlal de bechatzar nizak askinan, must be talking about the courtyard of a nizak. Vikatani." Now this is going to get a little complicated. We have to really be in it now for this. So, v'katani behema ena muadash l'shalim kulo v'chati nezek b'shalemas. So, this, we're talking about a shein. A shein is pati we said in Rishus HaRabim. The only time an animal is chai for shein, for eating, is if it's in the Rishus HaNizak. So the fact that we said shein is muadash must be that the discussions here is all in the backyard of the Nizak. Now if that's the context that we're talking about, then the Mishnah goes on to explain that let's say my animal goes to his backyard and gores his animal in the Rishus HaNizak. So according to this, the Mishnah said you only pay half Chatzi Nezek, even though it's in the Rishus HaNizak. So we had Machlokas earlier, when the Shor Shanagach takes place in Rishus HaNizak, do you pay Chatzi Nezek or do you pay Nezek Shalem? Rabban felt you pay Chatzi Nezek. Rabbi Tarfon said you pay Nezek Shalem. So since we've established that our Mishnah is talking about Rishus HaNizak, because that's where Shein is talking about. Shein is only Chayv in Rishus HaNizak. So therefore, when it says Shor Shenagach is only Chayv in Chatzi Nezek, that's also talking about Rishus HaNizak. It must therefore be who authored this Mishnah. It must be Mani Rabbanan. Must be the Rabbanan authored the Mishnah, and the Amri Rabbanan hold Mishuna Karen Bechatzar HaNizak Chatzi Nezek. When an animal gores, even in the backyard of a Nizak, the owner, the Baal Shor, only has to pay half a Chatzi Nezek. Okay, so everything is nice now. However, the Seifa, Ema Seifa, look at the Seifa. The Mishnah says, Shor Shamuad, Vishor Hamazik, Birshus HaNizak, the Adam. This case at the end says, if a Shor Hamazik is found in the Rishus HaNizak, the Mishnah says he's called a Muad. In which case, if he's a Muad, you would pay full amount. So a Shor Tam, let's say Shor in the first offense, damages a shore in the Rishus HaNizak, the first half of the Mishnah implies it's a Chatzi Nezek, but the second half indicates that it's a Nezek Shalem, and that goes according to us and the Rabbi Tarfon. Damar Mishuna Karen B'Chatzar Nizak Nezek Shalem. Animal that does Karen in the Chatzar Nizak pays the full amount. So who authored the Mishnah? There's a stira. Sigmar says, who do Mishalem? Sigmar says, Reisha Rabbanon, Reseifa Rabbi Tarfon? Could it be that the first part was written by the Rabbanan and the second half was written by Rabbi Tarfon? That doesn't make sense. The Gemara says, yes, it's true. Duhamar le Shmuel, Rabbi Yehuda, we saw this yesterday. Shmuel said to Rabbi Yehuda, Shinra, he always called Rabbi Yehuda a sharp one. He says to him, Shavak Masnisen, leave aside the Mishnah, don't get so worked up about it. Visa Abasre, and do as follows, follow me. which I say, Reishir Banan v'Sefer Rabbi Tarfon. Everything works out nicely. There is no stira. There are two authors, one for the Reishir, one for the Sefer. Okay. So then the Gemara says, in the bottom of the Amud, Rebbe Lazar, Mishmei Durav, Amar, going on to now, Tezayin Amar Aleph, he says, Kula Rabbi Tarfon, he argued. The entire Mishnah is all one author. It's really one author by Rabbi Tarfon. Ah, so why is the first half say Chati Nezek in Rosh Hashanah Nizak? And the second half says Nezek Shalem. So he explains that Reisha is a unique case. Reisha is a case of Chatzer HaMiuchadesh LePeros, where Andy and I had both equal rights to place our fruit here. But Lechem Hem, Peros Lechem Hem, that only Andy had the right to put his fruit in, but Lezev, Lezev, LeShvarim, we both had the rights to bring our Shvarim in the backyard. To the Gave, when it comes to Shane, Havli Chatzar Nizak, the Gave Karen, Havli Rishis Harabim. With regards to the Lachas of Shane, only Andy had the rights to place his fruit in. So it's really his property in the world of fruits. With regards to Shvarim and Karen, we both had equal rights. So that's why regarding eating the Shane, it's his property, I would have to pay the full amount. But regarding the Shvarim that attack each other, you'd only have to pay Chati Nezek because we both had the rights of this property. Okay, that's how he gets out of this. So then the Gemara says, hope it's not too confusing. The Gemara then says, Amar Rav Kana, Amrisa, L'shmaisad, Kamei, D'Rav Zvid, Mehar Neharda. Rav Kana had said over this discussion in front of Rav Zvid, Amar Li, and Rav Zvid said to me, Mi Matzis Mokmisle Kula Kirby Tarfon? Can you really say that the Mishnah was authored by Rabbi Tarfon? There's a stira. Because Hakatani, doesn't the Mishnah say, Hashein Mu'edesh Le'achal Esaroyla? That Ishein, an animal that eats, is Mu'edesh to eat things that it's fit to eating. Raila in, shein raila lo. Only things that it normally eats, such as fruits and vegetables, but things that it doesn't normally eat, such as ksus and vekalim, clothing and pots and pans, so then the animal is not muedes to eat. V'im Rabbi Tarfon, but if it's Rabbi Tarfon, ha'amar mishuna karen b'chatzer nizak nizak shalim mishalim. But doesn't he hold, whenever an animal does something mishuna, something different, if it eats something that doesn't normally eat, that's considered mishuna, he would have to pay the full amount. Rabbi Tarfon thinks whenever there's something mishuna, whenever something is done differently, you pay the full amount. And our Mishnah says, no, if you eat something that's a neroila, you would not pay the full amount. So therefore, Rabbi Tarfon cannot be the author of our Mishnah. Ella, the Gemara says, Liolam Rabbanan, he really Rabbanan authored our Mishnah. The Chasur Mechzer, and there's something missing in the Mishnah, it should be read as follows. Halchi Katanya. Chamisha Tamin, hey, and there are five Tamin that only pay half the amount. Vim Huadu, Chamishas, and Muadun. And if all these examples of Tamin become regular to do them, they become five muadim. And v'shein v'regel muadim b'tchilasun. And then there are some examples that are muad from the beginning. It's just shein, when an animal eats, or an animal does regel, it breaks something while derech hilucho. Those are examples that are always muad. V'heichan hadasan, v'chatzar nizak. And where does the hadasan take place? In the chatzar nizak. What do you mean heichan hadasan? Ah, so where is a Shein Regel considered Muad? In the Rosh Hashanah Nizak. So that's how the Mishnah is reinterpreting the Mishnah. It's really all Rabbanan authored this Mishnah. And there is no stira at all between the Chatzar Nizak. Because one case of Chatzar Nizak is referring to Shein Chatzar Nizak, which is Muad. And one case of Chatzar HaNizak is referring to Shor, Karen. Okay.
Yeah. Can't be Rabbi Tarfon one because he would hold you had to be Nezek Shalem, even if I have Mishnah.
Exactly. He would say, when a Shane eats even something that's Eino Ra'ila, you would pay Nezek Shalem. Our Mishnah says something that's Eino Ra'ila, you would pay Chati Nezek.
By Karen, no?
By Karen. Any type of Mishnah. Any Mishnah, anything that's done out of the ordinary, okay. They would pay Nezek Shalem. So Gemara says, Maskev La Ravina, Paketani, doesn't it say later on, Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizak, Ketzad. Later on, the Mishnah explains, so what's an example of Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizak? Now, Iyamris, Bishma Ariba Mishim Halchi Katani Ketzad. I mean, that Mishnah later on that we're going to see Shura Mazik Abrishus Haniza Ketzad is assuming we're told. You only ask the question Ketzad if you first were introduced to that concept. So they can only ask Ketzad if they were introduced to that concept earlier. So that makes sense if we were dealing with Shura Mazik Abrishus Haniza already. But Ella, right? And the Gemara goes on to explain. One second. Right, and that example later on of Shor HaMazik Rishus HaNizak is referring to Karen. So if that was on the focus, if that was on the radar on this Mishnah, so that Mishnah makes sense later on. But Ella, but if we're saying according to what we just answered, Ella Yamis Lariba, that when we say Shor Hamazik, it's not referring to Karen, it's actually referring to Shane Viregel. So later on, when the Mishnah explains about Karen, and it doesn't explain about Shor Viregel, it doesn't make any sense. My Keta, what's the Keta? So Ella Amar Ravina says again, this is very confusing. Chasur Mechtra, the way the Mishnah is missing something, it should be read Hachi Katani as follows. Chamisha Tamin Hain. There are five situations where an animal, a shor, is tam. You only pay chati nezek. Vim huadu, and if they do it three times, it become muad. Vim huadu chamishasan, if all five examples do be muad, they become muadin. Vishain v'regel muadim tchilasan. And these two examples are muad from the beginning, from the first offense. Vizeo shor muad. And that's considered shor muad. Vishor mazik. Bereshus Hanizak is machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanim. Now the way it's being presented is, not that it's one or the other, Shor Mazik Bereshus Hanizak is a machlokas, Rabbi Tarfon Rabbanim, what do you pay? Rabbi Tarfon holds that a Shor Mazik Bereshus Hanizak is a full amount, and Rabbanim still think it's a chati nezek. And then the Mishnah should be read as V'yeshu Muadim Acherim. There are other types of Muadim, Koyotzi Be'elu, which are similar to Shor Shein V'regel, and that they're muad from the beginning, such as Hazev, Vahari, Vahado, Vahbardis, Vahnemer, Vahnacha. So that's how we read the mission in the end of the day. So just to review, I know it's confusing going through the whole way here, but the bottom line is that there are five tamim, all related to Karen. Karen is always a tam, and then if you become muad, then they all become muadim. Then there's an example of something that's muad from the Tchilasan, Shein V'regel, or muad from the first offense. And then there's another example of a Shor Hamazik, Birshus HaNizak. If there's Karen that takes place in Rishus HaNizak, that's a machlokas, whether that's considered muad from the beginning or not. Rabbi Tarfon thinks it is muad from the beginning, even though normally Karen is chati nezek. When it's done Mishuna, when it's done in the chatzir of the nizak, then Rabbi Tarfon thinks it would also be considered muad. And then there are other examples of muad, which are different types of animals, that are muad mitchilasan. Okay, hope that at least the bottom line was understandable. Gemara now says, Tanin Nami Hochi, there's a brisa that says the same thing. Chamisha tamim heim. There are five tamim ve'im huadu mechamishas muadim. And if either one of them become muad, they become a muadim. V'shein v'regel muadim mitchilasan. And shein v'regel, from the beginning, they're already considered muad. The same exact thing we saw above. V'zeo shura muad. V'shura mazik, b'shus anizak, is a machlokas of b'tarfin rabbanan. V'yeshim muadim acherim, kiyoti be'elu hazeiv v'vahari v'ado v'anamer v'abardalis v'anachosh. Exactly what we said above. Gemara now says has the same exact idea, but presented in a different way. Ika deramilu mirma. Others present this whole discussion as a question. They say as follows. Tanan, the Mishnah says, Chamisha tamim v'chamisha muadim v'suleka. There are only five, but not more. There are only five muadim. But v'ha ika, doesn't our very Mishnah say, there's the ze'ev, and then there's the ari, there's the dove, the namer, the bardalis, the nachosh. There's so many other types of muadim. There are only five. All the wild animals, dangerous animals, are considered muadim. There could be 20, 50, I'm sure hundreds of different species that are considered muad now. Ugamar answers, Umeshani, the answer, Amravina as follows. Chasur mechzer, there's something missing in the Mishnah. V'halchi katani, the Mishnah is read as follows, like we said above. Chamisha tamim hein, v'im huadu chamishasan muadim, v'shein v'regel muadim mitchilasan, v'zeo shor muad. V'shura mazik b'rishus hamnizak machlokas Rabbi Tarfon v'rabbanon v'yesh mu'adim acherim kiyotzi beilu hazeiv ha'va'ari v'adov ha'namer v'abardlis v'anachash. Okay, so we saw that repeated three different times. So now we should be comfortable, hopefully, with the Mishnah. Barnell says, quote from the Mishnah, says, v'lo lirbots. If an animal crouches down and smashes some kelim, so that's considered keren only, and he'd be a tam and only pay chati nezek for the first three offenses. So the Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar, lo shanu ela pachim gedolim. That's only true when it comes to large pachim, large jug, which is not normal for it to do. About pachim ketanim orchehu. But if it sits on small kelim, which is something more normal, it crouches down and it breaks them, so then the lacha would be, you pay a nezek shalom. That would be considered regular. That's something normal. If it's pachim gedolim, which is abnormal, then that would be chati nezek. So Lema suggests the Messiah lay this should support the following habehema muadis lahalach kadarcho ulsharber ulmaich as adam vesabehema vesakelim. So it's normal for an animal to walk along the way, break things, push against people, knock them over, and against other animals, knock over kelim. That's normal. So that's the same idea here, that if it breaks small pachim katanim, that's normal. You pay a full amount. And the Gemara says no dilma minatzad. Maybe it's minatzad. What do you mean, minatzad? So if you look at Rashi, dilma minatzad. Rashi says, dilma minatzad, haite katani muadis lamaich. That brisa that says that animals is muad to squash things. La birvitza, not referring to crouching down. El matzai, referring to the side of his body as he goes up against the wall and knocks down all the clothing and stuff. Kishim aleches, as it walks through the shuk, v'yesh betida kelim memachtan beina alakos, and it crushes the kelim against the wall. That's considered zuhi sha'amru hazeka begufo derech hilucha dahavi told to the rego. So it comes to told to the rego, while the animal is walking and causes damage while it's normally walking, that's rego, that's certainly called muad. Our discussion is when the animal crouches down, there's revita, that's different, that's an issue of keren. That's keren, that's not derech hilucha. And therefore, there's a distinction between pacham ketanim, pacham gedolim. Pacham ketanim would be normal for an animal to crouch down and crush the kelim, so you'd pay a nezek shalim. But if you crush a pacham gedolim, which is abnormal, he would only pay the chati nezek. Ikid amrile, others say in a different way. Amar Rebbe Elazar, lo tema pacham gedolim, hu de lavarche, don't say that pacham gedolim, which are not normal, that's when he pays chati nezek. Aval pacham ketanim orcheu, but breaking small jugs is something normal, and he'd pay full amount. Don't say that. Ela filu pacham ketanim nami lav orcheu. Even for an animal to crush small kelim would also be considered lav orcheu, and you'd only pay chati nezek even for pacham ketanim. So this Ikedami argues on the previous statement. Asks the Gemara, but doesn't it say meisivei lumaiches adam v'sabeima v'sakelim? But doesn't the Brisa say when the animal brushes up against the wall and crushes kelim, regardless of what size, the Baal HaShur is chayav to pay, and we the full amount? And we just said above, according to Rebbe Lazar, that you only pay half the amount for all kelim. And the Gemara answers, Amri Rebbe Lazar dimla minatzad. There's a difference. The animal is minatzad while it's walking. That's considered orche and would pay the full amount. We're talking about revita when he's crouching down. That's lav orche, whether it be pacham gedolim or even pacham ketanim, according to this ikadamri, in which case he'd only pay chati nezek. Now, ikadamri lav mirma, others present it as a shaila and says, Tanan, our Mishnah says, v'lo lirvos. And revita is considered tam. But doesn't the Brisa say, l'mayachas adam v'sabahim v'sakelim, if you push up against an animal, a person, or a kelim, you're chayiv? And the same answer, amar blazar lo kasha, kan bepacham gedolim, kan bepacham ketanim. So there's a difference. If it's larger kelim, then it's a lav orche, and you would be paying chati nezek. If it's pacham ketanim, it would be orche, and you would be chayiv to pay both for revita and both for meicha. This last answer does not distinguish between revita and meicha. It thinks it's the same thing. So each of these different answers here, these different presentations, are making different assumptions. They're not all saying the same thing. Okay. Gemara says now, Hazev of Hari v'chule, my bardless. Harry told us the Gemara is going to tell us what a bardless is. Amar of Yehuda, nifrza. Doesn't help us much. My nifrza, Amar of Yosef, afa. Still doesn't help us. Now there's an article, tell us what it is.
Polecat. Well, it has a few opinions. One is a polecat.
What's a polecat?
A small mammal of the weasel family that preys on poultry.
Uh-huh.
Poultry?
Like chickens.
I got it. That's why they call it a polecat. That's interesting.
A P-O-U-L?
No, it's P-O-L-E, like climbing a pole.
Uh-huh.
Mm-hmm. So I think they threw us a red head at me when they said it's a praise on poultry.
Uh-huh, okay.
Maybe it's extinct.
Okay.
Further research is required.
Okay.
Maybe Sanzino.
Okay. Fine. So the Gemara says, Meisivei, Rav Meir, Rabbi Meir, Omer Af HaTavua, even a Tavua, what's a Tavua? Anything for that one? Okay. And Rav Lazar Omer Af HaNachash, a snake, fine. And Amar Rav Yosef Tavua Zuapa. So he says, oh, it's an apa, it's a pole weasel, right? Okay, pole weasel, that's what we call it. Pole cat, sorry, pole cat, type of weasel. Okay. So Zuapa. So we see from here that what? That's a Shaila here. From the fact that Rav Meir adds on, Afa sounds like the Brisa Bardless is not. He's adding on to Bardless. So this assumes that Bardless is not an apa. Lokasha kambetavua zachar kambetavua nekeva. One's a female, one's a male. I guess I'm not sure which one's more aggressive. Which one would be assumed? Let's say Ditanya. Tavua zachar, this polecat, lachar sheva sharm, after 7 years, nasa atleif. It turns into an atleif. What's that, a bat? Okay, interesting. Atleif lachar sheva sharm nasa arpad. What's an arpad?
A different species of bat.
Okay. Arpad lachar sheva sharm nasa kimush. Different species of bat?
Actually, no. That's a thorn.
A thorn?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not sure what to make of all this. Kimush lachar sheva sharm nasa chavach?
Different kind of thorn.
Chavach lachar sheva sharm nasa shade, okay? Fine. And then Shidro Shel Adam, the spine of a person, Lachash Sheva Shanim Nasa Nachash, becomes a snake. And Mahani Mile Dilo Kar Bimodim, that's only if he doesn't bend down during Modim. If he bends down during the Modim, based on other Gemaras as well, the Gemaras and Brachos, then he won't turn, it will not turn into a snake. Okay, either way, we see from here that what? We're trying to prove from here there's a difference between a Tzavua Zachar versus a Tzavua Nekeva?
We just proved Zachar, no?
Yeah, well, all we did was mention what a Tzavua Zachar was. How do we prove from here that, let's see.
It's like evolution here.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like, exactly. 7 years is pretty quick for evolution, though. But I think Rashi pointed out here that Tzavua, I guess probably that's why it has a name colored, it changes to different species. Mm-hmm. And that's why we call it a Bardless and a Nifrza and an Afa. It changes over time. That's according to one shot in Rashi. Okay. Unclear exactly what's going on. It's hard for us to understand, as Harry said, it requires further research. Okay, we'll leave it as that. But this might be a... Amar Mar, now we're saying above, Rabbi Meir Omer, Afat Tzavua, even at Tzavua would be included as one of the examples of a Muad. Going on to Amar Beis now, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Af HaNachash, even a Nachash. But Vaha Nantanan, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Bizman Shein, B'nei Tarbus, Einon Muadim, V'Nachash Muad La'olam. Very strange. Rabbi Elazar is the author of the Mishnah at the end. He said that Nachash is always. So what's he going to say Af HaNachash as well? Let's see. Right, Rashi said, look at Rashi in the top line. Hey, Rabbi Elazar says, Af HaNachash, he's adding on to Rabbi Meir. Sounds like, Mitakatani Af, Michal de Rabbi Elazar, Havu Incha Madim. The other ones are also Madim. He agrees that the Bardless and the Af, all these different things are. But our Mishnah presents it as saying that no, he thinks nothing is a Muad, Nachash is the only one that's a Muad. So Gemara therefore changes the gear, Satani, Nachash. He doesn't say Af HaNachash. Nachash is the only example of a Muad. You cannot raise snakes. Amar Shmuel Ari Birshus Rabin Daris Vachel Pater. If a lion in Rishus Rabin Daris Vachel, he attacks a animal and eats it. Daris means he eats it while it's alive. He's Pater because that's normal. Okay, and if I have a pet lion and it does that, look at Rashi. Daris Shelo Harga El Michayim Lachel Pater. He eats it while it's alive. Dorachu, that's normal. Hashem Birshus Rabin Pater. Can you imagine you're walking a lion in the shuk? And it sees whatever they eat, and it jumps on that, an elephant and eats the elephant. That's normal. So you're potter from killing the elephant. But if it's, as Rashi says, Gemara says rather, but if it's Taref Vachel, if it, Taref is, grabs it and kills it before eating it, and it only eats it after it's dead, Chayiv, why? Daris Vachel potter came to Orche Lemidras. That's normal for that lion to do it, eat it while it's alive. Havle kimo she'achla peros v'yirakos. That's like eating fruits and vegetables. Havle shein b'shus rabim apater. That's something normal for animals, for lions to eat. But taraf lav orchu. It's not normal for an animal to sit there, hold on to the neck of the animal, and just wait for it to suffocate and die. That's not normal. And then eat it. They eat it while it's alive. Okay, so therefore, if your lion, next time you take a lion to the shuk, eats an animal and kills it, and then only eats it, you'd be chai for that, because that's not normal. Okay, so Gemara says, Lameimer, is this to suggest the treif alav orchil? Is it really not the nature of a lion to kill an animal first before eating it to make it a treifa? Haksiv, doesn't the pasuk tell us, a pasuk that appears in Nachum, Aryeh toref badi garosov, and lion does do treifa. Gemara says, no, b'shvil garosov. It kills it for the, like a gur aryeh. Gur is a young lion. No, it kills it to bring it home for the garosov, for its young lions. That's why. If it's eating it for itself, it would eat it alive. But to drag it home, it kills it first, to bring it home for the rest. Umechanek levosa, the pasuk says, and it chokes it for the levi, is also a lavi. A lavi is a lion, the young lion. So Gemara says, there too, it chokes it, not to kill it, b'shul levosa. It only kills it to bring it home to its children also there. But if it eats it on its own, it eats it alive. V'imale tarf charav. And it fills up the tarf in its holes. So you see, treif applies to lion as well. The same pasuk. Where's it? No, b'shvil charov. It just puts it in its hole. It stores things. It's not eating it. It kills it, and it drags it to the holes and to the den to keep it protected there. Umonosov treif. B'shvil monosov. What's monosov mean?
It's the layers.
L-A-I-R-S. I guess just to bring it to the layers and to the dens to keep it there. Okay. So you see, it's not normal for a lion to to make a trefa and eat it, but it is normal for a lion to make a trefa and then bring it home to the young lion or to the dens and to the lairs. Fine. Marsha v'hatani, the Brisa says, v'chein chaya shenichnas alachatzer nizak, tarfa behema v'achla basar mishalim nezek shalim. But doesn't the Brisa say, if a wild animal goes into the chatzer nizak and kills an animal and then eats it, you pay the full amount? So what's the shaila here? Aha.
First case was
Shisarabim,
right?
First case was Shisarabim, exactly, right. No, we said, exactly. Okay, first case was Rosh Hashanah, where Shane is put in Rosh Hashanah. But if it's done Mishuna, then you're Chayv in Rosh Hashanah. So this statement says, if the animal, Chaya, any animal goes to the backyard and kills, so he pays Nezek Shalim. Now, Chaya includes all types of animals. It doesn't distinguish between lions and not. It sounds like it's normal for a lion even to do trefa. And Gemara answers, no. Hach b'mayaskinan shetar falaniach. He didn't kill it to eat it. He killed it to just save it. B'ha'achal katani. But doesn't say he ate it. B'shinim lecha v'achla. It just changed his mind. First, a lion wanted to kill the animal, bring it home. Then said, you know, this looks like a tasty animal. I'm going to eat it. So he changed his mind. That's why. But initially, it was a trefa just to laniach. How do you know that? How do you know when the animal goes to the backyard, the lion goes to the backyard and kills an animal and eats it, how do you know that it initially planned on simply just killing it and saving it for later to say it's potter? Doesn't make any sense. Now, Dani's asking a good question here because there's a distinction between Rosh Hashanah Nizak versus Rosh Hashanah Rabim. That was, I think, the implication of your point here. Now, Rosh Hashanah Nizak should be chayv across the board, regardless of why the chaya kills it.
Right.
So I'm not sure why the Gemara is not addressing that. Rashi points this out. Right? Rather, Tosa makes reference to that. Not exactly sure what he's saying. It sounds like maybe that even Rosh Hashanah Nizak, in a Hanami, Mishuna would be put. It's not like a Ritarfon. Ritarfon holds Rosh Hashanah Nizak, everything becomes Nezek Shalim. We are going against Ritarfon, according to Rabbanan, that no, we don't hold that way. Even Rosh Hashanah Nizak, is it normal or is it not normal? If it's not normal, so then you would be exactly. Marnow says, moreover, it's hard to say that it was when the lion changes mind, because the Shmuel, Nami, and Dilma Hachihu. Maybe the case of Shmuel is also that same case. What's the statement of Shmuel? And Shmuel said, when the lion was tarf v'achal, he's chayv v'shis rabim, maybe the animal initially tarf to take it home, and then he changed his mind. So maybe the lion should be put, or the owner of the lion should be put in that case as well. So it's very hard to say that he changed his mind, that the lion changed his mind. So Amar of Nachman bar Yitzhak lit stadin katani. The way the Braisa should be read is in two different ways, two different avenues. How? Let's see. Shitarfa laniach odar savachla mishalemes nezek shalem. You don't read it as tarfa v'achla. What it says is when the guy goes to Rosh Hashanah Nizak and he does tarfa to bring it home, or he does darsa to eat it, those are the cases where you do pay the nezek shalem. But ain't a chanami if it's a case where a chaya, including a lion, this tarfa v'achla, since that's considered lav orche, he would not pay the amount of the nezek shalem. Okay. Marnel says, Ravina Amar, ki kamar Shmuel ba'ari tarbus, v'aliba de Rabbalazar. When Shmuel made a statement, he's referring to a trained lion. And according to Rabbi Lazar, who thought a trained lion would not be considered muad, since it's trained, so it's not normal for it to do this, that's what he's referring to. Iyachi, that's the case. Afil darsanami lechayiv. So if it's a trained animal, so when the lion kills a regular animal, so he should be chayiv there as well, since that's not normal. Ela the Ravina lava Shmuel etmar. Ravina's statement was not about Shmuel actually. Ela masnisa kitatani masnisa ba'ari tarbus. He's referring to the brisa that the lion in the backyard, he pays the full amount. That's talking about a case of a trained lion. Valiba de Rabalazar, damar lav orche, that he holds like a Rabalazar, that's not considered normal. And therefore, since it's not considered normal, that's why he pays Nezek Shalem in the backyard of the guy. Yach, that's the case. Chatzi nezek bar yilishlamen. So if it's really lav orche, if the animal's really trained, so then he should really pay half the amount. But our brisa says that when the lion goes to the backyard, he pays nezek shalem. Mar says diyayed. No, it's a case where the lion was trained, and then he had three different attacks, so now he's considered a muad. That's why he pays nezek shalem. Ihachi, that's the case. My high dikatani lagavi told the shein, lagavi told the karen. By the misname. Why do we teach this case in the category of Shein? It should really be in the category of Karen, where it's similar to Karen, in which it's three offenses, the three case of Tom, that results in a Muet. The fact that it's not taught next to Karen, rather it's taught next to Shein, tells us it's Akasha. And Gemara therefore ends in Akasha, unclear exactly how to deal, reconcile this Braisa and the statement of Shmuel.
Is Tarfala Haniach always to eat, or?
Yeah, Haniach. Yeah, it sounds like
really
right. It sounds like save to eat. You save it to eat for either the lion himself or for his family to eat, and that's considered that would be normal. Okay, new Mishnah tells us now. Ma bein tam lemuad. What's the difference between a tam and a muad? Ela sha tam mishalei mechatzi nezek megufo. A tam after the first offense only pays half the amount, and it only pays megufo from whatever value the shor is itself. But a muad, after three offenses, he becomes a muad. He pays a nezek shalim, the full amount of min haliyah, even out of pocket. My aliyah, what does it mean aliyah? Very strange lashon. Aliyah means like from the attic. So, Amar Rebbe Lazar, b'me'ula shebenechasav, from the best of his properties. Okay? So what does this mean? V'chein hu omer sotu, it says, v'yishkav chizkiyahu im avosav, and chizkiyahu lied down, he was laid to rest with his ancestors, like Kavura Bimale, Kivre Bnei David. He was buried in the best of the kvarim of the children of David. Vamar Blazer, what does that mean? Bimala Ita Mulam Shebimishbiacha. He was placed next to the Mulam, the highest officers of the family, Umaninu, David Shlomo. He was buried next to David Shlomo, the Mulam, the greatest among the Mishbacha of David. Do we see that Mala, Lashon Aliyah, means the best? Then it says, "Vaikburu bikfuros of Asher Karalo Bir David," and they buried him in the cemeteries that they buried for him. They dug for him rather in the city of David. Vashkivu b'mishkav, and they lied him down on the bed of some sort. Asher Mali b'samim v'zanim, that was full of spices and zanim. My b'samim v'zanim. What does that mean? They placed him on a bed of spices and zanim. So Rabbi Elazar Amar zini zini. They place them in zini zini. What zini zini mean? Rashi says different types of spices. And Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani Amar b'samim. It means spices. Shakol morech behem bali de zima. It was such good smells that leads a person to zima, to arayos and things they shouldn't be doing. Okay, that's the case. I'm not sure why they placed such spices on his bed, in his coffin. But that's what it says. Let's go a little further. Kikaru shocha lelachtenu upachem tamnu liragli. This is a pasuk that's found in Yirmiyah. Yirmiyah said, Kikaru shocha, they had buried, they dug a trap lelachtenu to try to catch me. Upachem tamnu liragli. And they placed, what do they say, pachem means?
Snare.
Okay, some type of snare, also type of trap, I guess, below my legs. They wanted to trap me. So Yirmiyah was saying to Hashem that the people were trying to trap him. They didn't like Yirmiyah very, very much. So he gave him a lot of musr. So Rabbi Elazar Amar shechashdu mizona, they rechoshed him for his nus to being with his ona, and Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachmani Amar shechashdu beishizish. They tried trapping him to get him to be to trip up to be with the neishizish or with his ona. That's a machlokas here. So Bishmal Mandam, this makes sense. Shechashdu mizona, haynu dechsev ki shocha hamuka zona. The word shocha appears in another context with regards to zona. So here too, also when it says kikaru shocha lachteini, they tried setting me up a trap for shocha. That means a zona. But Ella, if you hold the man that was shechashdu b'meishidish, that they were choshed him for being with the married woman, my shocha, how does the eishidish indicated, hinted in the word shocha? Atu eishidish mi nafka michlazona? What do you mean? An eishidish is with another man, is in essence a zona. So it's the same thing. So shocha is related to the word zona. And the question becomes, does it mean mamash zona, which could be a single lady, but znus, or does it refer to an eishidish, which also can be a type of zona? So Gemara says, bishmal man that was shechashdu b'meishidish, I understand the one who's choshed Yirmiyah for being with a married woman. That's why it says, you know, Hashem, everything they did to me to try to advise me to have me killed. Because Eish is Ish, if he's caught, leads to Misa, death penalty. But if it's concerned with the zona, it's an isser, a bad isser, but there's no death penalty for that. So what does it mean by mavis? Sheshlichuhu the bear tip, referring to a different event where they threw, apparently they threw Yirmiyah in a pit of a mud, and that he almost died in. So it's a different reference. Then the Gemara says, let's finish the next few lines. Darish Rava, Rava made the following drasha. My dech said, what does a pasuk mean when it says in Yirmiyah, Perek Yudches again, you muchshalom lefanecha, let them be the trip up in front of you, Hashem, beis apecha, during the time of your anger, asei behem. So do something to them to make them trip up during your anger. What does this mean? So Amar Rabbi Yirmiyah, Amar Yirmiyah rather, Yirmiyah says, Levin HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Ribono Sholem, he davens Hashem, afilu b'shash osen tzedakah, even when they're doing tzedakah, something seemingly very good and positive, hichshilam bivnei adam, make them trip up, that they should give tzedakah to people, she'enim mehuganim, they're not appropriate to be receiving money, kadei sheli kabla alem schar, so they shouldn't receive schar for tzedakah. So he wanted them to, even though they thought they were doing something good, if the tzedakah ends up in the wrong hand, then it's actually not going to be considered tzedakah. Tzedakah is not only about the giver, it's about the receiver. And if the receiving end, the person who's a ramai, who's make believe he's a poor person, you get no schar for giving a tzedakah away. That's what he davened for them. For all the bad that he did to him, he davened that they should not get schar either. Okay, so we'll stop here.
Yeah.